be there, but be quiet too. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That was Steve Brown, and this is Key Life, a no-nonsense approach to God's Word. If you have a Bible, get it, and let's see how it applies to real life. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you're joining us now for the first time this week, we're talking about, last week we talked about it isn't that you went wrong, and we're talking about those others, how you minister to somebody who's going through a really tough time. It isn't where they went wrong either. We looked at John 9, where that specific question is asked specifically by the disciples of Jesus. They saw this blind man, and he said, oh man, he must be a horrible sinner. Maybe his parents sinned. And Jesus said, and this isn't in the text, but Jesus is a friend of mine, and in the original language, Jesus said, what are you, crazy? Haven't you been listening to the stuff I've been teaching you? And then he said, it was so that God should be revealed in him. That's John 9, 2 through 3. And then we talked about how often those of us who encounter others who are suffering, avoid them. Stay away from them. Don't have anything to do with them. You get people, and I'm sort of cramming for finals myself. You know, if you're young and you're vile, you don't want to be around old people. Somebody sent me some hymns for the over 50 crowd. Precious Lord, take my hand and help me up. It's well with my soul, but my knees hurt. Nobody knows the trouble I have seeing. Just a slower walk with thee. Count your many birthdays, name them one by one, or go tell it on the mountain, but speak up. Give me the old-timer's religion. Blessed insurance. Or how about this one? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I've forgotten where I parked. We have this tendency sometimes to just avoid people who are going through difficult times, to stay away from them. Don't do that. Visit some nursing homes. Be there. And we talked yesterday about being there. Now, today I got another point I want to share with you in terms of ministering to other people. Listen, when you're going to be there, that's good. But don't think, I'm God's servant, and I'm going to speak the right word at the appointed time to bring healing to this horrible situation. Nothing worse than do-gooders. So be there, but be quiet. Let me show you a verse in Job 2:13. Job's friends Job's lost his everything. I mean, it's really bad. And everybody else is in void, but these three guys come up. And listen to what it says in the 13th verse of the second chapter of Job. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now, they blew it later on. Boy, did they blow it. But for 7 days, they did it right, and most of us can't do it for one day. Often people who want to help somebody going through a difficult time will come to me and say something like, Steve, I want to help Judy, or I want to help Sam, but I don't know what to say. On those occasions, I generally feel relieved, because not knowing what to say in the presence of a friend suffering is a tremendous asset. If you don't know what to say, then don't say it. If you don't know what to say, that's from the Bible, then don't say it. If you ever suffered, you found that those who talk the most usually help the least. Job's friends had enough sense, at least in the beginning, not to say anything. When my brother died, a number of close friends, without my knowledge, flew to North Carolina. That was an awful time in my life. In fact, when I look back, and you know, I've had a lot of pain, but that was big time. That was hard. I love my brother. Those of you who are listening on the stations in Asheville or in the mountains there know he was a district attorney. He was articulate. He was young. He was just something. He was a Democrat. The only good thing about his death is he learned the truth. It's a joke. Don't write me letters. Let me tell you one of the things that made all the difference in the world. The funeral. they closed down the street at my brother's funeral in Asheville on the route that the hearse went. And then the church was packed, and there were a lot of people there. And I was, you know, my family and my mother and our kids and Kitty and everybody was on the front row. So we didn't know who was behind. And I turned around, and I realized that a lot of close friends from around the country had flown into Asheville just to be there. They didn't speak a word. They went with us to the cemetery, and they cried. They didn't even know my brother. They just cried. Let us know that they were suffering too. Not once did they give me a cliche or a pious platitude. They didn't give me theological truths I already knew or try to explain why God allowed such a tragedy. They didn't say anything. They sat there and cried. The memory of their silent, loving support, listen to me, will minister to me for the rest of my life. When people are suffering, don't blabber. You don't know why they're suffering any more than they do. Just be quiet. It can make all the difference in the world. You think about that. Amen. Well, on Wednesdays, I'm going to do that today. Take some time at the end of the broadcast to catch up on some of the thousands of questions that we get. We love to get your questions. You got to write them down, though. Send them to Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life Canada Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can get the booklet we're offering free. You can become a part of Key Life Tapes free. You can get the magazine free. You can make contribution free. Well, it'll cost you some. But you got to write your questions down. We love to get your questions, and you always get an answer from me or a staff person or on the broadcast. And we do this on Wednesdays, and then on Friday, my pastor comes in and we answer questions. Well, enough chit-chat. Don't forget to check out our website. It's www.keylife.org, and you can learn about Key Life, be blessed with some of the material on the website, and go to a lot of other places. You can listen to today's broadcast and the previous 30 that are archived there. And one other thing, sure would appreciate your prayers. This Saturday, March the 12th, a number of us, Key Life is going to be in Tallahassee. On Sunday, I'll be speaking at the Wildwood Presbyterian Church. Then on Saturday, that's the Saturday before that, so that's March the 2nd, we're going to have a Key Life radio rally in Tallahassee, the capital of our fears. State enough. Let's turn to some of these questions. This is an email. How do we know what religion would be proper one for us to be involved in? I will restrain myself from correcting the grammar on that particular question and tell you, look for anything that is spelled P-R-E-S-B-Y-T-E-R-I-A-N. No, I'm kidding. I'll tell you, first, if you're talking about religions of the world, use your mind. Check it out. See the results and the fruit. Check out whether what is said is true. See if it balances with reality. Talk to people in those religions. You know that I studied world religions from a Hindu professor at Boston University at a graduate school there. And I loved him. But I came out of there saying, I'm not going to be a Hindu. I'm going to be a Christian because I use the mind that God has given me. So I would say make sure that you rationally check it out. Talk to people who are involved. If you're talking about going to a particular manifestation of the Christian faith, a particular church, find a church where you find God's people, where the scriptures are taught, where the sacraments are practiced, where people love each other, where Christ is exalted, and they become a part of it. You ought to be a part of it. All right, let me see. This is from North Carolina. What do you think happened to the people who were resurrected at the time of Jesus? I have such a profound answer to that question. I have no earthly idea. That's one of the passages of scriptures you don't even expect it. You're reading it, and then you're reading about the resurrection, you're saying, great, man, And then you read, and a bunch of others got up and showed them, and you think, whoa, what is that? Explain that to me. And God didn't use it to explain it to us. What makes you think I'm going to try? So I don't know. It's a good question. I've often wondered myself, but I don't have an answer to that. This is from Ontario, Canada. Are the sayings God helps those who help themselves and let go and let God biblical or not? Well, there's some truth to them, but they're not in the Bible. They're those kinds of phrases that kind of creep into our culture, and everybody just assumes it's in the Bible. I one time was having a congregational meeting when I was a pastor about a building program, and we were talking about having to borrow some money. It was a lot of money, and I wasn't too happy with the building program anyway. And somebody got up and said, "Pastor, we've got to be careful here. The Bible says neither a borrower or a lender be." And I went, "Whoa, we're in trouble, man." And then I changed the subject because I didn't want to get off on that. I went back to my study, started looking for it in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's in Shakespeare. And these two phrases that you bring up are not in the Bible. But there is some truth to that. God does help those who help themselves. But mostly, he helps those who can't help themselves and who know it. And I taught you the principle a number of times. You take the first step. God will take the second step. And by the time you get to the third step, you'll know it was God who took the first step. And that is biblical. Let go and let God. Yeah, but that has kind of a passivity to it that's not biblical. I press on doesn't sound like let go and let God. And so the Bible is never passive. The formal name of that heresy is quietism by a Spanish monk by the name of Molinas. But it means just let go and let God. It's cool. No, that's not biblical. But there's a sense in which you do have to let go. You have to let go of the steering wheel or the moving car and let God drive it. And that's a very hard thing to do. As a matter of fact, the trouble with a living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar. So, yeah, they're sort of biblical, but they're sort of not biblical, too. I just noticed that I'm out of time, and I need to get out of here. Listen, let me say again that whenever you're right or called, would you give us the call letters of this great station? A lot of wonderful people make this broadcast possible. When you tell us who they are, we're able to mark that down in our books and keep track of it. So do it, please. Oh, yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.